What happens if you open a soda in space? How many batteries can you eat before you die? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life! Pew, 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 pew! Woo. Hello everyone, welcome to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast where every week myself and this guy, Kit Greer, investigate. You will speak when spoken to, motherfucker. I wasn't done with the intro.
Coming a little hot.
Sorry.
There, Chief. Is everything all right?
Sorry. That was just usually I feel like the intro to a podcast is a sign of how smoothly things are going to run. So I perfectly recited. So if it was perfectly done, it would be a perfect podcast.
Get to talk now either.
Let me go. We should obviously cut that take. Don't include that take.
That's fine. This That's
fine.
The thing. We
edit you the show. Son of a bitch!
I was just saying, we edit the show, so my it's all good. We can make as many mistakes as we like. Well, keep it loosey.
No. This needs to be straight.
It needs to be a strict one.
Going from the top again. We still rolling?
Yep, we are rolling. Rolling. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But right, it's a comedy show, man. So like, it's all good. Just take it easy.
All right, I'm geared up to go. Going again in 3, 2, 1. Welcome. Hello. Listen.
I was just saying, hey.
You've said quite enough. I'm hosting this week's episode, and it's actually quite a serious one, so I insist that I demand your respect.
What? You turned on my mic? This is bullshit, man.
Exactly. And it's going to remain off.
It's my podcast too, man.
No, it's going to remain off until I get through the intros. My name is Roy Powers. This guy's Kit Greer. Say hi, Kit.
Hey. Can anyone still hear me?
We might have to put him in from another episode. That's fine. We're going to keep going. Welcome to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast, where every week myself and this guy investigate a brand new paranormal tale and come to a conclusion as to whether or not it is paranormal. We have decades, nay years, nay days of paranormal experience behind us. And we're ready to put it to the test today as we investigate. I'm not going to dance around it. This is possibly one of the scariest cases that I have ever investigated.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
In over 190 investigations.
That's right.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Why are you getting involved? Sorry, we got to go from the top here. Series chipping in. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to This Paranormal Life podcast, the comedy paranormal punk.
Welcome to the podcast. You know what it is. It's scary.
We don't attract new listeners. Look, we don't like to dilly-dally usually too much at the start of the podcast. Let's just get into today's case.
Let's go.
Today's case was an email submission by a listener called Roland Montgomery. Roland did something that I've really haven't seen done a lot before. He sent me an email for a case to investigate, but pretty much investigated the entire thing himself.
Oh, wow.
Which was pretty, I felt like doing like a peer review, you know, like getting yeah, like a lecturer to take a look at your dissertation.
Except instead of, you know, doing that review and giving your critique back to him, what he could have done better next time, what was fantastic, you stole it.
Yeah, I completely ganked it. I basically printed out his email.
And just crossed out his name and put yours in. Okay.
Rory Montgomery wrote me himself a great email. The email said, "Hey, paranormal pals. I haven't been a listener for long, but I blazed through each of your episodes in about 3 months or so. I don't have the episodes in front of me as I type this, but I don't recall a ton of them featuring South American legends. So digging through the stories I remember being told, and those I remember reading, I found one that y'all might be interested in. This is a collection of notes I have on the Venezuelan legend of El Silbón, also known as the Whistler." The first story that Roland listed in the email is from Reddit, under the thread, "What is the creepiest thing that has ever actually happened to you?" The following story was written by user BingBong1234.
Perfect.
Chilling. BingBong wrote, "I've been waiting a long time to tell Reddit the full story of the Whistler. This story requires many details, but it is unexplainable, creepy, and 100% true."
I cannot begin to explain, and yet I must list detail after detail that you will not believe.
"When I was about 8 years old, I was taking my dog for a walk through the neighborhood with my mom. It was maybe 11 p.m. We live next to a swamp/wooded area on the edge of our neighborhood in Michigan. I remember it being very silent and slightly windy. From down in the swamp, we heard somebody whistling at us. It sounded like sort of a bird, but each whistle was different enough where the lack of consistency made it sound human-like. The whistle sounded higher, then lower. I can't really describe it. My mom had a concerned, slightly terrified look on her face and grabbed my hand and said we should go inside quickly. I didn't understand because I was too young, but seeing my mom freak out made me freak out too. After a while though, I kind of forgot about it. 2 years later, I was taking my dog out again, late at night. There's a large bush in front that could easily obscure a person behind it, just next to the front door. As I was finishing the walk, the whistling noise started again. The same pitches, the same inconsistent human-like tones. As soon as I heard it, a chill went down my spine. I remember exactly the feeling of seeing my mom terrified, looking down into the swamp at something I couldn't see. Maybe she couldn't either. I ran inside as fast as I possibly could. The years went by once again, and I thought about it less and less. I told only a handful of people, and eventually, it slipped from my mind.
And they're not going to be very supportive. They're not going to understand. You heard a whistle? Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's kind of a difficult situation to be in.
Yeah, you might want to be there. Like, really? Did you need to piss yourself?
You might want to spice that one up with throw a weapon in there.
Yeah.
Or a growl or a rumble or something. The whistle by itself isn't very intimidating.
Yeah. I mean, this is usually how paranormal legends start. Starts with the whistle and you throw in some glowing red eyes in the woods.
Whereas this could just be like, you know, I was walking by a construction site late at night and I heard a... Hey, beautiful! Hey, you sexy little piece of beautiful ass.
I feel slightly terrified and concerned.
Fast forward to last summer. I'm 24. Started dating my girl, Sarah. We moved out to South Dakota for work. For Independence Day, we decided to go and watch the fireworks along the banks of the Missouri River. There was a free camping spot behind a hospital where you could pitch your tent, hang out, and see the fireworks up the river. We were near the end of the campground, and there were very few people around us. As it was getting dark, the fireworks began. They were pretty far away, so the illumination that they brought was very little. Thus, we had to sit right at the edge of the river to be able to see them. A huge thunderhead was moving in, and a storm was imminent, so the air seemed electric, and the wind was picking up. The atmosphere was eerie, to say the least.
Firework thunderstorm, that is explosive.
That's a deadly combo. The police boats herded all the other boats off of the river and had left our area to do that elsewhere. Most of the other campers walked up the river to have a better view of the fireworks. But Sarah and I stayed back and were drinking our PBR tall boys and kicking it.
Heyo! Very romantic, my friend. Nicely done.
Suddenly, we heard the sound of a paddle methodically dipping into the water. We saw a figure steering a canoe about 20 meters offshore. Sarah decided to go get more beers from the car. I'm gonna get more beers from the car! Leaving me alone to stare at this mystery person. And then... my entire body was frozen and covered in goosebumps. It was the exact same whistler from my childhood, more than a decade earlier. I looked at the figure, but it was too dark to see who it could be. When they were perpendicular to the shore from me, they stopped paddling and turned the canoe directly to face me and whistled right at me.
Whoa. So this is the exact same high, then low, then high, then low.
Weird, creepy, methodical, inconsistent whistling he'd heard from his childhood. Again, this not guy, scary
this,
on paper.
This guy in the boat is just whistling Gangnam Style.
It's kind of difficult because it's like this is a scary story, but again, it's still just whistling.
Yeah.
So it's you're not really ramping the tension up.
And you're gonna have a hard time explaining that one to Sarah.
Yeah.
Surely.
Hey, I got a couple more of the tall boy. Where the f*** were you, Sarah?
He's sweating.
He's been telling her about the whistler for years. Coincidentally, he only shows up when she's gone. When she goes for snacks, she just comes back from the refrigerator with, like, you know, a nice slice of cake, comes back into the living room. He's sweating. He's clammed up into a ball. Was it the whistler? Yes, it was. Okay, great. Did I just miss him? Of course.
Yeah, the Whistler mostly comes when I'm at the office from hours 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Also, the Whistler arrives when I go to the bathroom on my own. Also, when I go to doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, things like that.
Sarah phones him up and he's like, yeah, I need you to actually pick up the kids after work today. My schedule's pretty slammed. And he's just like, oh, yeah, sure, baby. I think I... I don't know if I can do it, actually. Oh, I think he's...
Really?
I
can hear the wind on the receiver.
Close. Do you remember the story I told you, Sarah?
We've been through it. We went to couples therapy about this, in fact, and they said you got to stop using the Whistler.
You're going to have to...
As a crutch.
You might actually have to make dinner tonight as well, Sarah, really? Because he seems pissed. Because
the Whistler's hungry. Is he coming to dinner?
He wants chicken, he says, I think. Fried. KFC. He said don't be skimpy either. Go full out, okay. He said.
That's great.
He wants to go for a beer as well, so I'm going to actually be back late.
Okay. I thought you were scared of the Whistler.
I'm scared of what he'll do, Sarah, if I don't go with him.
To the bar.
And I might not be back tonight for the KFC, so just put the bucket in the fridge and maybe I'll see you in a couple days.
A couple days?
I can't hear you. I can't hear you over the whistles.
What the f*** are you guys going to talk about at the bar? He can only whistle.
Just like, obviously off mic. Yeah, she bought it. She's the best. Every time it's great.
I can hear this. You haven't hung
sorry,
on the phone.
Sarah.
This is like three guys chuckling in the background.
The story continues. I'm a videographer, so I already had my camera by my side and was taking a video of the fireworks. As the canoe was almost out of sight, I grabbed my camera and got a shot of them whistling as they went away. Hmm. When Sarah came back from getting beers, she was very confused as to why I was so freaked out. When I explained, she was freaked out a bit too. I was convinced we would both be murdered that night. How did this whistling person follow me after 14 years? To this day, I am more afraid of being outside and in the dark where I might hear that whistle again. Thoughts on the story, Kit? Immediate thoughts?
Incredibly creepy. This is very true to real life. Very often we'll have paranormal cases where from the first three sentences, we're into the world of the wacky and mysterious and frankly hard to believe. Whereas this is terrifying just because you could imagine being this guy and how disconcerting that would be years apart, just when you think you're safe.
Something so small, like a whistle.
You know, and you're having the time of your life. You're drinking, looking at fireworks. You're with your sweetheart. And she leaves for 5 minutes. And he's like, do-do-do-do-do, paddling up the river. Remember me.
Oh! Yeah, this is the scene right at the end of the horror movie where the title card comes up, you know, 15 years later.
Perfect.
The last 5 minutes of the movie. And it's like, oh, remember all that crazy shit that happened when we were kids? Yeah, that's nuts. Anyway, I'm going to go get a beer. I'll see you in a little second. He's back. He's right here. He was just waiting. Yeah, it's pretty scary.
What do you think?
I think it's terrifying to have something like this chase you your whole life.
Yes.
My entire life, you know, I've been called like a disappointment.
Right.
From my parents and things like that.
Deadbeat for me, yeah.
And that's chased me my whole life. It's definitely a creepy story. But one of the annoying things with stories like this is that, you know, when you find a story like this online, the problem is that it's the internet. It can be convincing, but there's really no evidence that we have to prove that a story like this ever took place.
We don't know that this isn't some kind of Russian conservative propaganda bot that's malfunctioning and is writing creepypastas on Reddit.
It's true.
There's no face to this name.
I mean, it doesn't help if you rock up with a name like
Bingo, Bongo, whatever.
But as Bing Bong said in the story, he was a videographer.
Before the whistling became too much.
And he had planned to attend the fireworks that night to capture the spectacle on camera.
No, yeah, I forgot about this bit.
Kit, I have a video taken from this exact night that when I watched, literally when I watched this in my house, I got chills.
Wow, okay.
Because it's crazy, you know, we can tell these fantastical, crazy stories and, you know, we use sound effects and storytelling to paint you a picture of what this night looked like. I have it. I have the actual video from the night.
Normally we need to paint the picture because the picture didn't happen. there's nothing to say that it ever happened.
This freaked the f*** out of me. I'm not even joking around.
This is the most animated I've seen you about a piece of video evidence.
Well, because when I was reading it, I obviously from the get-go assumed this never happened.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, you know, red flags for creepypasta territory. Definitely.
So seeing this video was like watching the Harry Potter movie after reading Harry Potter. You already painted in your head what this looked like.
Yeah.
And now you're like, oh my God, it's been brought to life.
They brought us alive.
I mean, you can see the fireworks. This isn't a faked video.
This is the same. This is the very night. Beautiful, dusky twilight, fireworks in the distance, but we're hearing a whistling in the distance for sure. And there's thunder.
And the thunder.
He wasn't lying about any of this.
Are you whistling? Is that you? Stop it.
This would make it, at the very least, difficult to enjoy the fireworks. It's getting closer, for sure.
I just got chills again.
And he's zooming in into the river, and there is a canoe or some kind of boat paddling along. And that must be where that whistling is coming from.
I mean, is that not terrifying? As soon as you guys have finished listening to this episode, I maybe we'll tweet this link or post it on Patreon or something, but it's definitely worth watching the video.
We can stick it in the description of this podcast.
Yeah, that's a smart idea that I'll probably forget to do. I'll try my best.
It's completely blank. Subscribe to Patreon.
I mean, wow. Roland goes on to say in his email, as others in the Reddit thread quickly put together, this sounded a lot like the Venezuelan legend of El Silbón, also known as the Whistler.
Oh.
Now, there's a few different origin stories for El Silbón, but I found kind of the most popular one that includes most of the threads of the story, so I figure we'd read that one today.
Please, love to hear it.
The legend goes, according to Wikipedia, that the Whistle Man was once merely a spoilt little boy whose every wish was catered to by his parents. One afternoon, he demanded that his father hunt for a deer, his favorite meat. But when his father returned empty-handed, his son was furious. In a fit of hungry rage, he killed his father and cut out his heart and liver.
What? I thought this was just a spoiled kid.
Well, he's
a
very
demon.
Spoiled.
That's extremely spoiled. His soul and mind are spoiled.
Bit of an exaggeration, yeah, for sure. I mean,
he's a murderer.
There's other meats, for sure.
Well, you're not getting the f***ing deer meat now, are you?
Putting the organs in a bag, he then offered them up to his mother, claiming they were the fresh meats to be cooked for dinner.
Jesus.
But when the meat proved too tough to cook, the mother realized what horrible deed her son had committed. She cursed her son for all eternity. But that wasn't all. The boy's grandfather ordered the youth to be tied to a post in the middle of the countryside, where he was lashed until his back was destroyed.
See, that's a better punishment than, what'd you say, cursed for eternity?
For all eternity.
Because that sounds cool, but there's no real comeuppance, is there?
Yeah, just
for
be
murdering
like,
your dad.
Susan, the curse thing is great, don't get me wrong. Just in case the curse doesn't come to fruition, I'm going to whip the shit out of him. Because he does need some sort of punishment right here and right now.
Absolutely. We need the cherry on top.
He's already about roaming the streets, I think, stabbing more people. And sure, the curse is for all eternity. But until the wrath of that really kicks in, I don't think he's going to learn his lesson. It's hence like, the whipping.
It's like when something, a natural disaster or something happens. It's like, everyone sending thoughts and prayers is great. Keep the thoughts and prayers coming. We
awesome.
Are going to send NGOs
don't
with aid
it.
And food. And,
don't
really?
Eat it. Yep.
Because of the
thoughts and
prayers,
buddy. And they'll carry me
just
through.
Just in case.
End.
Just as a little add-on. Just like sprinkle it on top, you know.
Nah, dude. Don't
could,
need
couldn't
any of
hurt,
that.
Could it?
It couldn't hurt, but it also could do nothing. Because I got my thoughts and I got my prayers. Could you also, though, send like a priest?
Why?
Send a priest? One of the reasons the events transpired, we were cursed for eternity.
I see.
We were cursed for eternity. And that actually didn't take eternity to kick in. It was a real, it was a day one patch that really fucking kicked my ass. So,
okay. So you, but you're adamant you don't need the actual
No. I need a wizard or a priest or something like that to get rid of the curse.
Okay, they're not the same thing. No.
Right.
So you believe in prayers, but you think a priest is a wizard?
Whatever they're going to do better be pretty magic. So I'm hoping it's a wizard.
Whoever can wave
sure.
a magic wand and solve my problems is who I want to talk to.
Yeah, it's good to have some physical punishment.
Yeah.
As we said, just in case the curse has a little delay on rolling out.
Yeah.
So the grandfather whipped him. His wounds were then cleaned with alcohol and he was released. Only to have two rabid dogs set upon him.
Because they like the booze.
Which, I mean, fair. He's done a horrible thing.
Uh-huh.
Little weird to tie him up, whip him. Curse him for eternity, but then clean him up.
Right.
Untie
well, we're not
him,
animals.
Set him free. And then release the dogs to chase him down and rip him apart again. It's kind of like a weird... You're getting too much enjoyment out of that, I think.
Yeah, I think the logic there was something like, we're not letting you die that easy.
Right.
You got to suffer some more.
When I was reading this, I was expecting the next step to be like, whoa, take the dogs off him, clean the wounds, set him free.
Let the cats go.
Get the cats on him, scratching
him. Rub catnip into the wounds.
Before freeing him from the dogs, his grandfather condemned him to carry the bones of his father in a bag for all eternity.
Wow.
Nice little touch there. Again, not sure what the rules are with condemnation.
Is it like curses? Yeah.
It's
just if you believe in it or not.
Very true, this, like Santa.
This grandfather was... I'd like to know what he did for a living. He's a pretty cruel bastard.
You've possibly cooked and eaten his son.
Yeah.
And that's crossing a line. So I'd like to think that the whipping is fair game. The dogs are fair game.
Yeah, do you know what? Release the badgers.
Another level. Would you like to see a picture of the Whistler?
I would love to see that.
Now this is
El Silbon.
El Silbon, same person.
Great.
Same person. This is more a representation of what he looks like in the modern day stories, in his current 21st century ghastly form.
Okay. He looks like if Shaggy from Scooby-Doo got bitten by a zombie.
He does. He really does.
He's got the red flares and the green top. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the dog that was set upon him, it was Scoob. I didn't mention that in the story.
Doomed to solve other mysterious cases around the world.
Like Zoinks, Mom. Dad didn't come back with the deer meat.
Oh, no. Rakes, El Silbon.
Yeah, El Silbon is often seen with a number of other teenagers in the mystery van driving to abandoned theme parks and such.
This really puts a new spin on the mystery machine and the gang of teenagers.
Yeah, the original story was like, I used to see this fucking hippie freak when I was a child on the TV. Then I saw this hippie freak later in a feature film. All right, you've had your fun.
Demons as El Daphne and El Fred. So, I mean, I don't mean to take away too much here from El Silbon. He's very creepy. Would not want to come across him day or night, alley or not.
Yeah.
He's got long, creepy hair and creepy, soulless eyes and a big, creepy, tattered hat. And more importantly, I should say, a bag of human limbs and bones on his back.
Yeah, fair play to him for really sticking with the curse there. I mean, to this day, he still continues to carry the bag of bones. But how does this ancient story of a spoilt little boy carry forward to today's world? Well, the legend states that El Silbon wanders the earth as a lost soul, carrying the bag filled with his father's bones and whistling his signature tune. Through, I guess, the stories and the recordings and everything, people have actually managed to come to a universal agreement on what the whistle is.
Ooh.
It can vary, because this is actually not the one heard in the example video I played earlier.
Okay.
But it usually follows the pattern C, D, E, F, G, A, B.
Okay, so it goes like alphabetical order.
It's like it almost sounds like a scale.
Yeah.
I have a recording of what people believe the whistle sounds like.
That's weird.
Which I can play for us right now.
Let's go.
For those listening to the podcast, do not be afraid. We are about to play the sound of the whistler.
He has not come for your soul.
He's not coming for your soul.
Yet.
Do not pause the pod, freak out, and start burning your belongings and praying to the whistler.
Yeah.
Because you might jump the gun on that one. That day might come for you one day, but hold off. I also listened to this video very late at night in my room, and this scared the shit out of me too, so be warned. Really awful.
Whenever you mention the notes, it made it sound like a lot more toneful than it actually is.
Yeah.
It's a lot more like abstract than I thought.
Just kind of a really horrible ascending.
It's like the each separate note is there, but it's just ascending, like you say, getting higher and higher and higher until it disappears altogether.
Almost a little faster as well. Like,
yeah.
Bum, 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 and holding on that B. B, 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 B.
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, you could see why people don't want to hear this throughout their lives.
Totally.
Now, even though we did give a rough description as to what he looks like when he appears to people in the 21st century, the Whistler is also known to take on multiple forms. Not just a man, but sometimes merely a shadow of a spindly thin man in the darkness.
Okay, kind of Slender Man type situation.
Others describe him as a giant, towering along the treetops, limbs like twisted branches.
Wow.
Very scary shit here, folks. I mean, the whistling aside, seeing like a f***ing tree beard, like old man crawling through the horizons.
It is fascinating, isn't it? That like, it's crazy enough for one person to dream this up and put it in a movie or a book, but for this to be a phenomenon that multiple people have seen.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
As I said, this is one of the cases I've researched that genuinely freaked me out multiple times. So what does he want? Nice meat? Redemption? Just to f*** with people? Whistle? Just to whistle? Most of the modern day stories of the Whistler have a lot of common themes. He usually appears on hot summer days to often inflict his wrath upon drunks and womanizers.
Okay, I can appreciate that.
Which we've kind of seen before. You know, there's a lot of cryptids who, like, you know, as far back as the axe-wielding Goatman, they just don't like teenagers hooking up and boozing on their farms.
Yeah, sometimes these cryptids have, despite being non-human, horrible paranormal beasts, yeah, they also seem to have a moral compass for some reason.
Very strange.
I mean, this guy killed his own dad
because
simply for failing to get him a nice dinner.
Yeah.
So it seems odd that he would pick on seemingly innocent people. Well, not quite innocent people, but that he would try and exact his own vigilante justice.
I guess maybe it's, you could almost see it like, oh, don't be like me, little boys and girls.
Yeah.
Don't be like El Silbon, the sinner man. I killed my fault. Learn from my mistakes. Learn from them. He's out of breath. Learn from them.
It's, you know, I really have to appreciate his approach to getting away with this as well, which is normally in cartoons, and something I like to do if I'm about to commit a crime is start whistling to really drive home that innocence.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You could be walking down the street with you've just robbed a bank, you got a big sack with a dollar sign on it, and you're walking down the street, and you just have to go like...
As you're strutting.
And everyone's like, that guy doesn't have a care in the world.
Yeah. Sir, did you see which way the criminals went? And maybe you've done that thing where you like, you hold up a newspaper to hide your face. And when you put it down, you've got a mustache on. Little things like that. That was pretty good.
Oh, there are criminals in the area?
Yeah, nice.
I wouldn't know anything about that. I guess they went that way.
Yeah, I like that. That's a pretty good idea.
So maybe that's what he's doing. He's trying to blend in.
Did not work for the arson charge in 2006, unfortunately.
Right. No. I did go down for that. I did serve time. And, I'm not sorry. We are recording from an undisclosed location because I broke out around 2011. Been on the run ever since. And
you said that in the courtroom. I'm not sorry. I will break out. No one believed you.
Yeah.
It was pretty weird.
Well, they put me in a prison made of wood. So it's kind of...
Oh, that's an oversight. It's on them, isn't definitely it? An oversight.
You know.
I don't think that exists. A prison made of wood?
Well, it's... Listen.
That's where they put just you and Magneto.
Yeah. Greg, we go way back. They decided that we were such a danger to society that the only way of keeping their community safe was by putting us in a boat. It's kind of a Viking burial type situation. Putting us right. both in a boat, just kicking it out to sea. No motor, no sails, no rations. And basically just figuring they'll never get out of there. Hopefully, like Osama bin Laden and Megatron just sink right. to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. But I did burn down the boat. And I was able to paddleboard Magneto's body. Unfortunately, we ended up in Alcatraz. The first land we got to was another prison.
So the most high security prison in the world.
A little more time there. I had to put in a little more time there. But,
they probably should have put you there first.
Yeah.
That would have been smarter than this elaborate
scheme. Well, they thought I was going to die. So fair play.
I would love it if they were like, we have to make sure he never burns anyone again. Put him in this wooden boat. We'll push him off to sea. And they just launch you off the coast and watch as this boat gently curls round the horizon straight into a forest. And the forest just goes up in flames. Ah, shit.
If you are somebody who loves all things spooky, then Real Life Ghost Stories podcast is the one for you. My name is Emma. I am the host of Real Life Ghost Stories podcast. And every week I bring to you 3 podcast episodes that are full to the brim with paranormal stories. Every Wednesday and Friday, I release a mini episode, which is dedicated to the spooky stories of our listeners. And every Sunday, we deep dive into a famous paranormal case. You can find Real Life Ghost Stories wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Kit, when we bottle up our emotions, it can start to affect us negatively. Sometimes it's important that we get stuff off our chest.
Tell me about it. I found a UFO in the forest, and now this thing is attached to my chest.
Jesus, that's an alien. Mm-hmm. All right, I was speaking metaphorically about dealing with emotions and talking about our feelings by using services like BetterHelp.
I don't need to talk about my feelings. This thing can read my mind.
Therapy can be a great way to set boundaries and become the best version of yourself. With BetterHelp, you can get matched with a licensed therapist that suits your needs. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
We're saying they can get things off my chest, like Zonktar here?
Don't give it a name.
Maybe me and Zonktar can sign up for BetterHelp together.
Give it a shot, and whatever it is, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ParanormalLife today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ParanormalLife. Some people claim that his famous whistle foretells death or misfortune. In more complex versions of the legends, people claim that the whistler will break into your house, drop his bag of bones, and begin counting them.
So this is the opposite of Santa Claus. So kids, around December 25th, if you see a guy in some tattered robes coming down your chimney with a sack over his shoulder, don't get too excited.
Have a feel of those presents.
Yeah.
Have a feel of those presents. Are they hard?
Is he nice and plump and fat from eating mince pies and cookies? Or is he actually skin and bones? And is he whistling?
Well, that's a tricky one because I think Santa also whistles.
Right.
Is he whistling like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Or is he coming down like... with his spider legs, bones leaking out of his sack? Yeah, this is a tough one. Apparently, if no one in the house hears the counting of the bones, then a member of the household will die in their sleep.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's pretty extreme.
Wow. It is interesting that he's an omen, you know, a little bit like the Banshee or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, the Banshee is very similar. Like people traditionally in Ireland, if you hear a woman screaming at night in the middle of nowhere, that's a Banshee and someone's about to die.
Yeah, which is really worrying because more times than not it was someone in genuine peril and the person about to die was probably the woman screaming. Yeah. There's nothing we can do.
It's the Banshee. Walk away, she's already boys. Dead.
I'm not dead.
Aye, that's what she would say.
I can still hear her now. I don't know why we went pirate there. a little bit.
It's interchangeable, my friend.
By far, the creepiest part of the Whistler's legend is that if his whistle sounds near, he's actually very far away.
Whoa!
But if it sounds far away, he's f***ing right by you.
That's a little curveball.
Isn't that really scary? You know, I could take or leave the other stuff. Breaking and entering, counting bones. Sure, that's a little creepy. But the thought of, like, hearing a really distant whistle.
If you can barely hear it, it's a f***ing over for you.
He's basically smooching your shoulder.
This is like scorpions. It's like if you see a big scorpion, that's scary. But they're not dangerous, apparently.
It's the little ones.
The little guy, you're like, he's cool. I could smush him. It's like, he'll kill you and your entire family.
Yeah, you got to be careful with those ones. And sometimes the big scorpions are just little ones really close up. And the little ones are actually dragons on the horizon. They didn't teach me this in biology class. But like in between classes, I would sometimes lock the doors and like do my own presentations to the rest of the kids in school.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, Mr. Harrison was like, he's like banging on the doors, being like, don't listen, kids, don't listen. He's f***ing nuts. And I'm like, silence. We're going to sometimes.
You don't think he's a scorpion in a human costume?
And yeah, sure, the kids didn't listen. A lot of times they would beat me up.
And this was English lit class, so it didn't even have any relevance. You were still processing the morning's biology class by the time it came around to PE. You were f***ing trying to act like a scorpion on the...
Yeah.
Football field.
I got the projector fired up. I'm trying to teach everyone about the nugget cells.
So arrogant. Within 5 minutes of the class starting, you're like, oh, Mr. Harrison, I think I just heard a child in the corridor screaming for help.
Not again, Rory.
I really think you could just take a look.
Absolutely not. All that's gonna happen is you're gonna lure me outside.
Children, push him outside the classroom and we'll lock the door.
Everyone pushes me out. No, you fools, you're under his spell. I thought that was that's maybe the scariest thing I've ever read about a cryptid before. We wouldn't be doing our job though if we didn't tell you how to combat against the Whistler. It's nice. One thing to rile you guys up and get you afraid of him, but without the right education, similar to how to fend off scorpions, you know, what's the point in this podcast? So here we are. Here is how to defend yourself against the Whistler. There are four different techniques. Number one, you can remind him of his past actions and curse upon him.
Okay. Yeah.
Scold him.
Shame
him.
Yeah. He's a child at heart.
So if you hear that whistle coming around the corner, you know, do-do-do-do-do, just be like, hey, should you really be doing this after all the shit you've done?
Yeah.
What's in that bag, buddy? That's what I thought. Jog on.
Exactly. Talk about a skeleton in your closet.
Number two, you can crack a whip or imitate the sound of a cracking whip.
Ooh. Oh, because he was flogged.
I believe the direct quote was, his back was destroyed. Okay. So I think that's a little more than whipped.
Interesting.
That's when the whip fuses with your skin. And
this
gives
is
you a
this
fucking...
is good, because whenever you said ways to defend ourselves, I thought it was going to be like Muay Thai.
Right.
Judo.
Knife.
But the first one was tell him off.
Yeah. These are in theme with the paranormal. These aren't just a gun.
Okay.
Number 43, though, AR-15.
Yeah. Well,
Some of them are obviously more practical ones.
Be safe.
Butterfly knife was four. Number five was actually duct tape the butterfly knife to the top of your AR-15 to create some sort of stabby gun.
As personal experience, if I could just float my own idea.
Sure.
Pun intended. If you put him inside a boat and send him out to sea,
right.
Do not let him anywhere near Magneto or any other criminals, but put him in a boat out to sea and no rations, no oar, no motor, no sail.
Didn't quite work for you, but hopefully he ends up
yeah, but
different...
I'm ingenious. All you right. know, I'm really a master criminal arsonist, so there's no way they're ever going to keep me pinned down like that.
I will say that's not on the list, but we can add that one in as like a special.
I'd like
little
that.
On
I'd
kits.
Like that.
We'll make it, we'll call it Kits List.
It's Kits List.
So we'll keep it separate than the other actual list.
Right. But more important though, so you know, we could put a link to it maybe in the description of the episode, make sure people can download that, see it.
Yeah.
Get the information.
Yeah, maybe. So there's two lists.
I just want to make sure that my list doesn't, because I actually have other good ideas too. So you
maybe
could
after the podcast we can go
cannon,
through some of these.
Right. Like I was watching Looney Tunes the other day because my family said that's the kind of mental age that I am. I should just be enjoying Looney Tunes. And in the cartoon, they they loaded one of the animals into a cannon, right. And it was actually pretty effective at keeping keeping that animal away from the other animals.
You don't want to just hit him with the cannon? To use the weapon as a weapon and hit him with it?
But then he'd still be nearby, you know? I think you could get him really far away. In fact, in the cartoon, they ended up they're actually extremely far away. So
I think I've entertained this list for long enough. There are probably people listening right now who are under threat. They're hearing the whistling. They're doing the fast forward 30 seconds, fast forward 30 seconds.
And I'm there's like, another idea plan. Number seven. If we could just, if you have some dental floss lying around, honestly, I really think that might tie him up.
I saw an episode of Tom and Jerry that worked pretty well. Get a cat. Similar to actually get a cat. Number three, get a dog. Or imitate the bark of a dog.
I'm sorry, I just don't see how this is superior to any of the ideas I've come up with.
He was not only whipped, mm-hmm. but he was set upon by
dogs. By dogs, right, you are.
So you're using bits of his past to sort of trigger his ancient PTSD mm-hmm. and freak him out. You know, maybe if he hears a dog barking, it'll all start coming back, reminding him of his past sins.
This is interesting. You know, rarely do our cryptids and demons that we investigate have kind of weak spots like this, psychological hurdles.
That is really strange. Yeah, we don't come across this a lot.
It's not usually like the f***ing chupacabra has a gluten intolerance. If you just leave bread around, he's toast.
Bigfoot actually has a bum knee. If you sweep it like the f***ing Karate Kid, if you sweep it from the right angle, you can take him down like a tree.
He's had a repetitive strain injury for a number of years. Spring-Heeled Jack is a gambling addiction. So, you know, if you just leave a smartphone with bet212 or whatever,
he's logged gone, in, he's out.
He's out. He's done.
Spring-Heeled Jack also has a big glass back. That's why he has to have those f***ing trampoline legs. Because if he hit the ground with any sort of resistance, he would shatter like glass.
Yeah.
And he's just walking around like, man. Ooh, ooh.
He's been around for a long time.
He has, yeah. Number four. The final way to defend against the Whistler is to carry chili peppers with you.
Ooh.
This is a bit of a weird one. I believe it's because in one of the variations of the origin story, post-whipping but pre-dogs, mm-hmm. the grandfather put chilies in it.
His grandfather's a f***ed up son of a bitch. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's a bit of hypocrisy going on
because,
here.
Because, you know, I get that he was angry, but I really think the most just thing to do would have been to just execute him. Then and there, but to whip him and place chili peppers in his wounds.
There's a point where the mother had it right, and it's just curse him and exile him and be gone.
Forget about
when you're doing more f***ed up shit than he did to get cursed, you've crossed the line. It's not just like a blank check where you're like, all right, I can finally do all this nasty shit.
I can't cut off his dick and balls and then f***ing feed the dick and balls to the dogs, and then the dogs are gonna kill him.
Yeah, it's nuts. But I believe that is one of the ways you can fend him off. Obviously, if he sees or smells the chili peppers, he will be reminded of the time that he may or may have not had chilies rubbed in his whip wounds.
Wow.
Yeah, so look, there you go, guys. Don't say that we don't just inform you, but we give you ways to combat the paranormal.
Yeah, so, you know, cancel the Muay Thai class. Cancel the judo class.
You don't need it. You know, get rid of the taser. Get rid of the gun. Get rid of that little danger whistle. You don't need it.
No.
Carry around a necklace made of garlic, a bracelet made of chili.
And walk down that dark alley lit at night on your own.
You're going to be fine. If a stranger comes and tries to attack you, as Kit said, simply load them into a cannon and launch them to the moon.
Simple.
Easy. All right, Kit, I appreciate you sticking with me. That was a bit of a long story that we tackled today. But what are your thoughts? As a professional paranormal investigator, is there enough evidence on the table today to conclude this story?
This is what we love to see is whenever a modern anecdote from someone who has internet access and can write their own accounts, film them, bring that evidence to the table, whenever that perfectly marries up with an ancient legend of the paranormal in just a seemingly perfect way.
Yeah.
I guess we got to think about what our question is today. Is it, did this Reddit poster encounter El Silbon, or is it just that, is El Silbon real?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I guess we talked a lot about El Silbon. We should probably do that. Let's do Elsa Bond.
It's a big question.
Yeah, the big question. There could be little conclusions along the way, but we need a big question about El Silbon, the Whistler.
I mean, so it seems like either way, the way that we prove the existence of El Silbon is through this video. This is probably the most evidence there's ever been for El Silbon, let's face
it. Probably the most evidence we've ever had on this podcast. Let's be honest.
Not saying a lot, but that's the crux of this. Is that video real? Now, there's possibilities either way. I think we were both pretty impressed by the video. Certainly, the circumstances surrounding it all seem to be pretty true. I mean, he described the weather perfectly, the fireworks, the Reddit poster seemed to be there with one other person in the video.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts how perfectly the video... It's not an easy situation to, like, orchestrate if you were trying to create it.
Yeah.
To have, like, the fireworks show exactly what he described. You can see the thunder in the skies. Down by the river, late at night, someone on the lake in a canoe.
I will say part of the trickiness with examining the veracity of this is it has some similarities to other episodes. At one point, we investigated the giant atmospheric sky jellyfish. And some of the evidence for that was videos of things in the clouds. And there would be amazing kind of sounds coming from them. People talked about sky trumpets. Problem is, these were a popular style of video because it's incredibly easy to layer sound over existing videos to make it seem like something new is happening.
Of course.
That wasn't really there. So that possibility exists here. It's kind of easy to layer on a whistling sound effect of your choice onto any video and it'll make it seem like El Silbon is there. However, at the same time, like you said, it matches up nicely with this guy in the canoe.
Yeah, and I'll say, you know, as people who have worked in audio before, as people who have worked in film before, this is pretty diegetic. It definitely does not sound like this was something that was layered on top of the video.
It's for sure, if it is fake, it's a sophisticated job.
Yeah, very much so.
He did say he worked in video production.
Shit, he did, didn't he?
He did. El Spielbergo himself.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's the evidence that... if we go anywhere towards a yes today, that's going to be what sways it. I think the origin story itself is a pretty far-fetched origin story.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen very similar stories in a lot of our previous episodes of ghosts that haunt places or demons that haunt places. It was this person who sinned in a past life and they were cursed, or they cursed other people and now they wander the earth as a lost soul enacting their wrath. Nothing too original there. In fact, the whistling doesn't even come into the origin story at all.
Oh yeah,
at no point does he whistle. The whistling's got nothing to do with his dad.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Bones make more sense.
You think you'd hear rattling.
Yeah.
Whereas he seemed to have both hands free to paddle the river.
It's almost as if there's an origin story that needs to be placed onto this current paranormal creature that whistles, and
yeah,
they've somehow like mashed these two together.
I get it. So it's a similarity maybe in name alone.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. A really spooky story. Really spooky story. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Hope you weren't too freaked out. Hopefully what we're going to say next will put your mind at ease. Kit, what do you think? Is this truly paranormal?
So, difficult case to get to the bottom of. Some pretty fantastic evidence and a really fantastic story. At the same time, I can't personally vouch that this is... And I feel like a hypocrite here because we always want that evidence.
I know.
But I don't know that the combination of what happened in that video and what's happened in the history of El Silbon is the same story and that it's all paranormal. And I think for me, it's got to be a no.
Those pieces just don't quite fit together the way you want them to.
Not quite.
I will say, having that incredible story from Bing Bong 1234... accompanied by that video is probably the most convincing, or some of the most convincing paranormal evidence that we've had on this podcast ever. I think if the conclusion as to whether or not something weird was going on in that video, mm-hmm, I'd be much more inclined to head towards a yes. But as we said today, looking back at the bigger picture, looking at El Silbon, the legend, the stories, whether or not that creature, that man exists in today's world, it's going to have to be a no for me as well.
I know what you mean. That's feels unsatisfying because we've got some good stuff here.
These are almost two different stories.
They are.
One is this whistler who followed this person around on by the river and all his life, to be fair. And the other is this old ancient piece of folklore. Unfortunately, we have grouped them together. There can only be one answer, and that is a double no this week. But thank you so much to Roland for emailing that in. I couldn't believe it. Him just being like, oh, I just got into the show, never emailed before. And he sends over this freaking 6-page digest all about the history of the Whistler. Incredible research. So shout out to Roland.
Not throughout well the done, park, my friend.
You get the honorary badge of temporary paranormal investigator. Now, that is...
If you would just step this way, Roland, and we need to place you inside this cannon. We just got this in the commune. And we want to test it out, my friend. So you have earned the privilege as chief guinea pig.
Chief guinea pig. thank you for emailing that in. If you have your own stories you would like us to investigate, please email it in to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com and we will take a look at your case. And as this episode is going out right now on the 29th, we would like to take this opportunity to say thank you. Roll the music. We'd like to say thank you for all the days where we thought that no one was listening. For all the midnight uploads, late on a Tuesday, early on a Wednesday.
For all the comments busting our balls. You f***ed up that investigation.
Yeah.
You got this date wrong.
One star on iTunes. Stop podcasting. Not please funny. Stop podcasting. All of those mean comments, they made us who we are. And the love from all of you dedicated listeners, majority of you, as I said, very angry. But the hardcore heart of this group, again, the heart is actually pretty black and cold. But yeah. Inside the heart,
but you know what they say, the opposite of hate is... The opposite of love is indifference. I don't think that's what they say.
Nobody says.
The haters love us on some level.
But we would like to thank you so much for all of the support. You know, every year we get to look back at the podcast and all the episodes that we've covered and just be in amazement at how much the show has grown, how much further that we've got in terms of equipment, in terms of episodes. And we're so excited for everything that we're going to be working on in 2021.
What a trip.
We got some cool stuff actually in the works, which hopefully we'll be able to talk about soon. But it's all things I think people are really going to enjoy. And yeah, we're just so grateful for all of you joining us on this weird journey as we explore the unexplored. If you are a Patreon subscriber, the bonus episode for this month is going to be a celebratory episode where we answer some of the community's biggest questions, you know, about our own paranormal stories, about our favorite paranormal stories, about whether or not one of us secretly works for the government.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually one of my questions. I'm actually pretty interested in that one. So we might lead with that one. We could actually ask that now at the end of this podcast. Kit, do you think either one of us works for the government? Wouldn't that be crazy if one of us did? And one of them was hiding it for years.
You're really mad dogging me here. I mean, what are you trying to get at?
Nothing, man. Just wouldn't that be crazy? The betrayal?
Right.
That someone would have had to commit?
I guess it would, yeah. But that's a long time, isn't it? To like go undercover and keep it completely on the DL, spending so much time together every week.
I've never met your family, now that I think about it. Never met your mom or your dad.
Yeah, no, they're a long way away.
We always podcast at my house
as well. They live in Shanghai.
We never come over to your house.
Shanghai? I meant North Korea. They live in a place you can't go.
Both pretty suspicious.
Pyongyang, actually.
They live in Pyongyang. Well, that checks out, folks. I'm sorry I ever doubted you, man. That's exactly what a paranormal investigator would say. We're going to be divulging all of our secrets, telling each other everything that we think about the government very openly. It's going to be a great little bonus episode. So if you want to check that out, that's patreon.com, where that's only $5 a month.
Everything we think about the government.
We're going to be talking about our social security numbers, our passports, where our registered places of address are, and the exact time, date, and location in which we will enact Plan Do-Over, which is, of course, the global commune plan to restart the world.
We're going to hack the planet, my friends.
So as I said, check that out. It's going to be really fun. And yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything to say? Just thank you, I guess. Thank you, everyone.
Don't Google me. There's nothing to find. Right. There's nothing.
Weird
don't
way
try.
To end the year.
Yeah.
Trying to end it on
yeah.
like a
no,
high.
No, yeah. Like of course, like thanks for tuning in and stuff. But like, you know, just I'm a very private person, you know. Looking okay. at Rory, sure, you know, there's lots, there's
sure, I don't, you know. That's not a weird thing to do. Sure, you can Google me if you want, or yeah. Google Kit, Google
no,
either
no,
one
no,
of us.
No, don't Google me, don't, because I'll get in trouble. Not with my family, of course, because they're not around, but
right.
with others.
Totally fine. I don't know why we're ending on such a weird note here. I feel like Kit's a little off.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks, everyone. All right.
He's wearing a three-piece suit, I should mention, in the interview. He has been for yeah. the last 2 years.
Yeah, well, I need the earpiece in order to monitor the
didn't
recording.
Notice that. Didn't notice that up until now.
What's that? What's that?
I no. didn't say anything.
It's under control. I needed to monitor the podcast.
It's under control, sir. All right. I think he's being weird.
It's under control, Dad. Hope all is well in Pyongyang.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. We will, of course, be back in the first Tuesday of the new year. So,
we'll be back next year. Holy moly.
Until then, folks, always remember to live fast, investigate, and die young, baby.
If you are somebody who loves all things spooky, then Real Life Ghost Stories Podcast is the one for you. My name is Emma. I am the host of Real Life Ghost Stories Podcast. And every week I bring to you three podcast episodes that are full to the brim with paranormal stories. Every Wednesday and Friday, I release a mini episode, which is dedicated to the spooky stories of our listeners. And every Sunday, we deep dive into a famous paranormal case. You can find Real Life Ghost Stories wherever you get your podcasts.